Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basa, daf Kuf Mem Aleph. Begin on the third line down with the top of the Yamud. The Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah of the previous daf, which the Mishnah was explaining the differential between male, female, and a tumtum. And one of the cases that was described was regarding if someone has a wife that's pregnant, and he says, oh, if the child's going to be male, 100, female, 200. And then describe what's going to be with a tumtum that is not going to get from either one of them, because neither male or female. So the Mishnah, in its description of the cases, said, if someone says, if my wife gives birth to a male, it's going to get 100 dinar. If it's going to give birth to a female, then the fetus is going to get 200 dinar. On that, as the Gemara, remember the bas adifale miben, is that to say that it's preferable for a person to have a daughter over a son? Because it's saying that for the female, it gives the example of giving 200 zuz, which is double that of the male, of having a son. On that, as the Gemara, but the Amr, we see it's more important to have a son, as the Gemara says, if someone does not leave over a son to inherit him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moly ulav evra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filled with him with fury. Shnelag says, the Pasuk in Bamidbar, it says that ven ein loy, that if he doesn't have a son, it says, va'avarta besnach los lebita, regarding the laws of inheritance, if he doesn't have a son, then you pass on his inheritance to his daughter. Which Reb Shimon ben Yochai says, ve'ein ha'ben havara ele evra, when it's saying that you pass it on, the root word is evra, which is anger. Shalom, like it says the Pasuk in Sfanya, yim evra hayemahu. A day of anger is that day, referring to the day of Gehenim. So how could we say that a person would prefer when his wife is giving birth to have a daughter and not to have a son, and to give double if it's a daughter, when a person should prefer a son over a daughter? So now the Gemara answers, le'inya Yerusha ben Adifli. You're right. Regarding inheritance, a son is preferable, which is because then the designation of the person who passes away will continue through his sons because of the inheritance stays in the tribe. But if he has a daughter, to the contrary, she gets married to a man, then it gets transferred to the tribe of her husband. So yes, in that case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filled with fear in the person because he loses his designation in Klal Yisrael, because the inheritance does not stay only with the son and not with the daughters. But in Harvacha, regarding gain, Bitei Adifale, yes, then depending which child he has, he would prefer the daughter getting more than the son. So when he has a son, yes, he really wants to have a son more than the daughter. But if it's a son, he's going to give him 100 versus a daughter, he's going to give her 200, because she can't go and get food and sustenance as easily as a male. So for the son, he'll give him $100 in his bank account. But for the daughter, he'll give more because she's not as competent in commerce as the son is. Shmulam, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Hacha in the halacha of our Mishnah is b'mevakeres haskin. We're talking about a woman expecting her first child, where then, yes, the husband prefers to have a daughter, as the Gemara has explained the reasoning, more than a son. And therefore, he's going to give more to the child if it's a daughter than a son. Why? Because Rav Chizda, like Rav Chizda said, Bas Tchila, if a person has a daughter first, Simon Yafal Abanim, it's a good sign for sons. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Ikidami, that those that say, because the Miryavi Lacha, because the oldest daughter, she's like, I'm a second mommy, and she brings up her brothers, so it's better to have a daughter first than a son. Begadami, those that say, a different reason is the Leshulta Be'ein Abisha, because then the evil eye and Ayin Hara does not rule over this person, because a son, a firstborn Bachar, that's something that people say, oh, look at him, versus a daughter, people don't look at it like that, and therefore it's actually better, and the person would prefer to have a daughter than a son. Amr Rav Chizda, more of Rav Chizda says, Ula didi, and for me, Bansan Adifali Mibnei. Daughters are better for me than sons. Now the reason for that is, says Rashbam, is because actually he did not have sons that survived him, but rather daughters, and therefore he desired to have daughters. Which Rashbam still doesn't like, which actually the Reintasis brings, because his sons-in-laws were the Gedei Lador, the greatest of the generation, therefore he preferred his daughters, who therefore he had such great son-in-laws, than his sons. A different interpretation to answer our Gemara's question. The Ibaisim, if you want, you could say, Hamani, who's the town of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda. It's going like Rabbi Yehuda, who desires that the daughter should have a larger gain than the sons, so that they shouldn't be degraded because they're not as capable as the sons, and therefore, yes, he'd prefer to give his daughter more than his sons. So the Gemara says, hi, Rabbi Yehuda. Which Rabbi Yehuda are you referring to? Ilam Rabbi Yehuda de Bakoil, if it's Rabbi Yehuda who interprets the word Bakoil. The time like learn the Brisa, the Torah says in Bereishis, Vashem Berichas Avram Bakal, Hashem blessed Avram with everything. What does everything mean? Reb Meir, he says, Shaloi Hoyulebas, that he did not have a daughter, because that's a liability, so he's blessed with everything but not having a daughter. Behudam, he says, to the contrary, no, Shahoyulebas, because he had a daughter. Ubakol Shema, and her name was actually Bakal, that was the blessing that Avram Avinu had. So you see that that's the greatest blessing he had. So you see that he prefers a daughter over a son, and that's why he would give his daughter 200 and the son only 100. And that says the Gemara, but Eimed Hashamad Leiler Behuda, what do you find from the interpretation of Behuda? Is only that Brata Nami Loi Chasra Akmonel Avram. It's only that Avram was also not even missing a daughter. So when it says that he was blessed with everything, meaning he even had a daughter. But Adifim Ben Mishamali, do you understand from that interpretation that he considers a son better than a daughter? It's not better, it's just that he had everything. Everything means that you have whatever you want, even the pitch of kiss, even those little trimmings on the edge, and that would include a daughter. You don't see that a daughter is better than a son to interpret a halach of a mission like Behuda to say that a daughter would get double that of a son. Elahar Behuda de Tanya. Rather, it would be the Behuda that we learn in the following Braisa, which is Berurim Sefzik Supas and Perik Nairish Nispata, that says as follows. Mitzvah laws and esabonis. The first opinion that Braisa says that it's a mitzvah, it's a righteous act to feed one's daughters, and this is based on the pasuk of that one should not turn a blind eye from one's own flesh, from one's own relatives. Now, when it says that it's a mitzvah, it's because it's not actually an obligation, as the Mishnah there teaches, a person is not obligated to feed his daughter and his children. As the Gemara there says, that we try to intimidate, we try to do tactics to get him to feed his children, but it's not obligated, but it's a mitzvah. And all the more so to feed one's sons, the Aski Batayr, because they toil in Torah, and therefore they should not be degraded. Which, that's not part of the price, that's just explaining, that's Divrei Meir. Behudaim, he disagrees. He says, no, mitzvah lasan as labanim. It's a mitzvah, it's a righteous act to feed one's sons. V'kavachayim labanis, and all the more so to feed one's daughters, deloy lasazlan, that they should not be degraded because they're not as competent, that it's not so easy for them to go ahead and begging for food and or earning food as the sons. So then we see Behuda considers one giving to one's daughter a higher priority than one's son. That's the opinion of our Mishnah. No, if that's the case, ask the Gemara Lahadit Tanya. But then this that we learned in the Brisa that says, Yolda Zachar Unikeva, if someone gives birth to a male and a female, Hazachar Noitel Shisha Dinarim, if the male takes 6 dinarim, which is 6 golden dinars, which is a mana and a half, because a mana is 25 slam, which are 100 of golden, of silver dinarim, which is 100 zuz, and one golden dinar is you can get 25 silver dinarim, as the Gemara says in Mishnah Baba Kama and the Lamed Vav Med Aleph. So it comes out that the 6 dinarim are 150 zuz, which are silver, which is a mun and a half. Vanakevin, they tell a shnei dinarim, but the girl only takes 2 dinarim of gold, which is a half a mun. So on that, as the Gemara Bamai, so what would that case be talking about? Didn't you just say that one gives one's daughter more than one son? So why is this Braisa saying a case that the son gets a mana and a half, and the daughter only gets a half a mana? So Amar Vashi says, Amitla Shmaita Kamed Rav Kahana. I said this teaching in front of Rav Kahana that it's actually talking about Bimisaris. This Braisa is from a specific type of a case where someone inverted his stipulations, one the opposite of the other one, because he has stipulated regarding giving birth to twins. Dhamma, what he said as follows. He said, if it comes out in the following order, Zachar, Tchila, Masayim, if the first child is a boy, then he gets 200, Nikiva, Achrav, Veloiklum, and then comes out the girl, then she doesn't get anything. Then he goes and he inverts his stipulation regarding the birth in the reverse order. He says, if it's Nikiva, Tchila, Mana, if the girl is first, then she gets 100, which would make sense, like we said before, regarding the girl being first, then there is whatever gain. Then he says, then there's 100. Zocha achari amana, and if then the second one comes out as the boy, then he'll get a 1 mana. Now, the yalda zocha in the keva. Now, the case of the bride was talking about, so that's what he had stipulated. Then the wife gives birth, yes, to twins, one boy, one girl, but v'leyadin and hayminayu, nothing bereisha, but it was not known which one came out first. That's what the Brais was talking about, this halacha. Zachar shokel mana mimanav shokh. So the boy takes 1 mana, either way you look at it, because if he's born first, then he takes 2 mana, which is 200. If he's born second, so then he takes a mana, either way. Idach mana, now the other mana, which we're not sure, if the boy is first, then he takes both, and the girl takes none. If he's second, then it's supposed to be the girl takes one, and the boy takes the other one. So this other mana, habamam and amut basafik, is in doubt, Because if the boy is first, then he should take it all. If the girl was first, then she should take it. And therefore, the halacha is v'cholkin, as we know, the halacha is when you have mom and money that's in doubt, you split it, and therefore comes out that yes, that's why the male is going to take, the boy is going to take 6 golden dinar, which is a mana and a half, and the girl is going to take a half a mana, because that one mana is in doubt. That's what the Brisa told me, not because we give a boy more than a girl. It's talking about a specific type of a case, as we just described. So the Gemara continues asking, well then, v'had the tanya, this is in the following Brisa. Yalder zachu nekeva, if she gives birth to a boy and a girl, ein loy ela mana. The boy only gets a mana. So heichem mishkachas lo, what would that case be talking about? In other words, from the words of the Braisa, it sounds like when it says, oh, and the boy only gets a mana, it sounds like that you would have entertained to say that he should get 2 mana. And now that the Braisa is being mechadish and saying that no, even though you could say that he should take both mana, even so, he's only going to take 1 mana. What is the case talking about that you could say that you would think he would take both, and the Braisa is saying he only takes 1? So Amravina, he says that this Bryce is not talking about that he stipulated to give the fetus, to give the child, the boy or the girl, anything. Rather, it's talking about also a unique case of Bimavasreini, regarding whoever's going to give me the news, as the Gemara explains. As we continue in Talmud Beis, the Tanya, like learning the Bryce. If someone says, Hamavasreini, if someone's going to tell me the news, Bama nifter rachma shal ishti, what was it that came forth from the womb of my wife, in other words, what child came out, I don't know, I'm far away, whoever gives me the news, im zacher, if it gives me the news that it's a boy, yitl mana, he'll take 100. Yal de zacher, no yitl mana, then if his wife gives birth to a boy, then the one that gave the news is going to get 100 dinar. Im nekeva mana, if it's a girl, he'll get 100 dinar, yal de nekeva no yitl mana, if she gave birth to a girl and he tells it to this guy, so he takes a mana. Yal de zacher u nekeva, if the wife gives birth to a boy and a girl, ain la ela mana. So the one who gave the news, although he said for each one is a mana, but that's only if it's either or. But if it's both a boy and a girl, ain la ela mana, the one who gave the news only gets a mana. Now, the Gemara actually asked on this halacha the Braisa first by saying, but v'azachu nekeva le'ama. But he didn't say anything about both a boy and a girl. So then actually shouldn't take anything. He only said regarding a boy or a girl. And that's the Gemara. No, da amenami. He was talking about also. He also said, "Im zacher unikeve nami itlaman." That if it's a boy and a girl, also whoever gives me the news will take a mana. It's just that, as the Rashbam says, that as the Gemara says many times, Tana kiruchlo. You know, the Tana doesn't have to say every single case, but that's also one of the cases. And therefore, either way, and the one who gives the news will get a mana. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, "So then, what exactly is being excluded?" In other words, since he's specifying every types of birth, whether if his wife gives birth and he's notified that it's a boy, or whether it's a girl, or whether it's twins. So since he already delineated every type of besur that he can get, so then it should have just said, whoever notifies me, whatever my wife gives birth to, should take a mana. Why does he have to specify if he's specifying everything? So that the Gemara answers, no, the this that the father specified, if it's a boy or a girl, or if it's twins, to say that either way he's going to get 100 dinar, is the ma'ute nefel. It's coming to exclude that if the guy notifies him that his wife miscarried, where then the one who gave the news doesn't take anything, because the reason that's why he specified boy, girl, because those terms usually define a living child and not a dead child, and that's why he specified. But yeah, either case is talking about that he's going to take that amount. That was the case of the Braisa that we were talking about, that ein lo ela mana, he only has a mana, which, as we described, yod zachu nekeva, he gave birth to a boy and a girl. That was part of the context that we're talking about, that he had said, either case, boy or girl, or even boy and girl, either way, he's only going to take a mana, but nothing to do with this halacha that you would have thought that it's 200. Yeah, you would have thought it's 200 because you would have thought a boy gets 100 and the girl also gets another 100, but not regarding to the context that we're talking about of a boy getting more than a girl. It's just a specific, unique type of a case regarding the one who gives him that news. Now, the Gemara continues on this topic relating back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Hahuda amalala de besu. Regarding a person who said to his wife, Nichsay lahaydim abarta, my property, my assets, what we own, is going to go to this child that you're carrying. Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, have mezakal uber, this is a halacha of meriting something to a fetus. But mezakal uber, if someone merits something to a fetus through someone else, loikana. So then, the child has not acquired it until the child is actually born. And actually, even where the father had said that all my assets should go to this fetus when the child is born, even so, as we'll see at the end of this daf, Rav Huna will say that even when the child is born, he will not acquire. Because since at the time of the acquisition, he was not a viable kaina, he cannot acquire because he's not around. So therefore, even to merit it through someone else, which generally that works, you could merit to someone else through someone else. Obviously, the child cannot receive it. He's in the mother's womb. Even so, it's not going to work. Now that Esvei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna on his halacha from our Mishnah, which we alluded to when we said our Mishnah in the previous daf, which we taught Ha'imer, if someone says, Im yolda ishti zachar, if my wife is going to give birth to a boy, yitlamana, then the child's going to take 100. Yolda zachar, yitlamana, said the Mishnah, if he gives birth to a male, it's going to be 100. As we said, a female, 200, and so on. So the question is, but the halacha of a Mishnah is mezakal ober, where he's meriting something to the fetus, and the Mishnah says that he does end up taking it, which is in clear contradiction to Rav Huna. So Malay, Rav Huna responded, Mishnah seinu eni yedem mishana. I don't know who taught the halacha of a Mishnah, because we don't find anyone, not an individual, and not many, to say this opinion. Therefore, it's not a difficult thing, because I actually don't know who says this. And therefore, I hold, if someone's mezakeh to the uber, he's not kaina, although that's a contradiction of the Mishnah. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, but v'lei melei, why did Rav Huna say, I don't know who it is, and therefore don't ask on me from the Mishnah? Why didn't he say that it's a certain yachid that's the Tana, which, as the Gemara is going to try to illustrate, we do find those who obviously would hold mezakeh l'uber would be kaina, and he's just saying, I don't hold like that, das yachid. Why didn't he answer and say, remeirhi, no, that the Tana is like someone, but we don't hold like that. It's like Remeir. The Amma that he says, Adam Makna Davish Shaloi Balaylam, Remeir holds that a person could acquire something, could be Makna, could acquire to someone else something that is not extant yet. So why did Rav Huna say, I don't know who taught it? What do you mean? Rav Huna himself holds like Remeir. The Gemara says, Nyevames and Av Tzadigim Lam and Aleph, the Rav Nachum Yitzchak says that Rav Huna is like Rav, Rav is like Rav Yana, Rav Yana is like Rav Chi, Rav Chi is like Rebbe, and Rebbe is like Remeir. And Remeir is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is like Rav Akiva, who says that a person can be Machna Dav Shabla Elam. You could make a kinyan on something that's not around yet. Which the Gemara there explains, Rav Huna's case was talking about a case where if someone sells the fruits of a tree to his friend, which the fruits are not around yet. Rav Huna says that until the fruits come to the world, he could back out. But once it comes out, he cannot back out anymore. Whereas Rav Nachman says even that when it came, he could back out. But we see that although the fruits are not there, he could be machnit. So to Rav Meir, his opinion is mentioned in the Mishnah. If someone tells a woman that you're engaged to me for when afterwards when you become a convert or after I convert, so she's not mukadeshes, says the Tanakh. Rav Meir says she is mukadeshes. Where although that she's not Jewish yet, how can you do the Kedushin? Because even though she's not here yet, it could work for when it will. So therefore, our Mishnah also, the assumption was that the same thing should work by a fetus. That just like you could be makna something that's not Bala'ilam, so too you could be makna to something that's not Bala'ilam, which is the fetus, although he's not around yet, but you could do the Hakna right now for to take effect then. That answers the Gemara. No, Eim Deshamad Leila Remeir, where do we find this opinion of Remeir? Ledaver sheyeshna ba'ilam, that although the object that's being acquired is not around, but it's at least to someone who is around in the world at the time of when the kinyan is happening. It's just that it didn't the time to, for the kinyan didn't happen yet. Like we learned, hareyat mukadeshes la'achashes gayri. He's telling the woman who is around that you'll be engaged to me after you convert. Where the woman who is receiving the kinyan is getting the ring. She's around. She's in the world. It's just that she didn't yet convert, so therefore the time for the kinyan didn't happen yet. But lidavar shein neba'ilam, but to something that you want to be makted to something that's not in the world yet, which is a fetus is not in the world yet. Mishamalei, did we hear by a mayor that he would say that it would be a valid kinyan? No, to the contrary, even a mayor would agree that the parties have to be around. And here the party's not here. The object that's being acquired doesn't have to be around yet. And therefore, that said Rav Huna, I don't know who taught the halacha of a Mishnah. It's not like Rav Meir. But the Gemara continues asking, but v'lei melei Rav Yosi, why didn't Rav Huna answer him by saying that, no, the Tana of a Mishnah is like Rav Yosi, and I hold like the Rabbanan. So why did he have to say, I don't know who taught it? Why? He could say it is like an opinion, and still it's not a difficulty in him because he holds like Rabbanan who disagree. Who would the Mishnah be like Rav Yosi? The Amar Uber Kani, Rabbi Yisi holds that a fetus does acquire a portion in his father's slaves when his father passes away. Which is that you see a fetus could have a kinyanim. So it's not like we learned in the Mishnah in Parak Almana and brought Masechet Yevamos regarding a woman that is from her father, her family, are Yisraelim, who got married to a Kohen, and her husband, the Kohen, passed away. And a woman that's married to a Kohen could usually eat truma, and so too all the things, all the avodim that she has. Now, when her husband's dead, if there's children, then she could continue eating from the property. But here he left her pregnant. So the halacha is that her slaves cannot eat truma because of the portion of the rights that the fetus has in his father's slaves. As the Gemara there explains, because a fetus in a foreign womb, meaning his mother is not a kahenis, she was married to a kohen, but she herself is a zar, she's a non-kohen, so the fetus, who's considered part of the mother, is also considered a zar. And the reason for that is because the uber is placed lov eina machel. The fetus invalidates the slaves from eating, and does not allow them to eat divrei Rabbi Yisi. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yisi. In other words, the fetus that this Yisraelis woman became pregnant from her husband, that's a Kohen, who then passed away, he invalidates the slaves from being able to eat truma because of his portion, his rights in the slave. Because if that part that he owns, his shares in that slave, he right now, although he's going to be a Kohen when he's born, right now, since he's a fetus in the womb of a woman that's not a Kohenis, he's also considered not a Kohen at this moment. And therefore, you don't consider it v'lid beisahim yichab alachmi, that those who are born into the family of a Kohen, those slaves could eat the bread, because if it's a child of a Kohen, where he would be called a Kohen, then yes, the mother would eat and the slaves would eat, but he's not called a Kohen until he's born. And therefore, neither could he feed either his mother, who is Yisraelis, who is pregnant from her, from his father, from her husband, the Kohen, as the Gemara there says, which eats truma because of her son that's a Kohen, as if her husband, the Kohen, as if he was alive, as the Pasuk says, V'yilid beisem yoichab alachmoy, which would include the woman, but that does not include her child, the fetus. Because Rabbi Yisi holds that the fetus in the womb of the woman is the same as the woman, which she is not a Kohen, and so too the child. Now, one thing the Gemara wants to have from this opinion of Rabbi Yisi is that we find that the fetus has a portion, even though he's in the womb of his mother, in the slaves of his father who just passed away. And we see this in the fact that he will invalidate the slaves from eating truma during that duration when he is in the womb, when he's considered like non-Kohen. So obviously we see that if someone merits to a fetus, he acquires, as we see, that he automatically inherits in his father's estate, even like a fetus. So the Gemara, no, you can't compare the two halachas. Shani Yerusha Habo Meleho. Inheritance is different because it's automatic. And therefore that does have the ability to take effect, and the fetus goes and gets those rights to inherit even when he's a fetus. But for someone to be makda, to give and make a kinyan to the fetus, that we don't find that necessarily that would go ahead and acquire. And therefore, Rebbeinu says, I don't know who taught the halacha of a Mishnah. Although a fetus has Yerusha, who said that you could be maknet him something? Yerusha is different because it happens automatically, but to be maknet, how could you maknet someone that's not around? So the Gemara continues asking, V'leimele Rabbi Yechim and Bereke, why didn't Rebbeinu say that the time of a Mishnah is Rabbi Yechim and Bereke? The Omar that he says, Leishna Yerusha, V'leishna Matan, he says it doesn't make a difference between if it's inheritance or if it's a gift. They're not like we learned in the Mishnah Masechta in Perek Yesh Neichlin, that Rabbi Yechim Reka Ima, he says, Im Amar, if someone says that I want that person to inherit me, and if he says that Al Misha Roli Yarshu, regarding someone that is fit to inherit him, meaning at least partly, for example, let's say he chooses one out of his many sons, he says, I want that child to inherit me. Now, the Gemara's assumption at this point is that the same thing would apply to a fetus amongst the sons, meaning when he passes away, it's his wife, one of his wife is pregnant, and he says he wants that child to inherit, who is fit to inherit, that this child should go ahead and inherit him when he's born. And that says Rabbi Yechim Bereke Devarv Kayamin. So when the child's born, his words will be sustained, and that child will get all the inheritance. So we see that if someone actively is mezaka and is meirish to the fetus will acquire, which that's similarly the case of being mezaka to the uber, meriting for the fetus. And therefore the same thing should be in the case of our Mishnah, which is someone that's being mezaka to his uber, which is fit to inherit him. Why doesn't Rav Huna say it's Rabbi Yechim Bereke, who does not differentiate between gifting or inheritance, that we see even if you gift it to one of the children, who it's not even part of his inheritance, it would have been divided amongst all the children, you're giving it, you see that the child does inherit. That says the Gemara, no, Eimed Shamel Le Rabbi Yechim Bereke, where do we find Rabbi Yechim Bereke saying his halacha, that you could bequeath all your inheritance to one out of the older children, and the other ones don't get it? That's only L'davish Yeshen Ba'ilam. That's only to something, to someone that's already extant. Meaning, one of the children that are already born amongst all the other brothers. But lidav sheinu ba'olam, regarding somebody that's not in the world, meaning to pick the fetus out of all the other brothers, miyama, who said that he said such halacha, we don't find necessarily that he says it, and therefore we can't say that he is necessarily the Tana of our Mishnah. But then the Gemara says, but you combine two other opinions that we mentioned, v'lei malei, but let Rav Huna say, Rabbi Yechon ben Berekah, it is Rabbi Yechon ben Berekah, because v'sabla k'rbiyesi, he holds a k'rbiyesi, we prove that Rabbi Yisi holds that a fetus does inherit, and therefore we could say that Rabbi Yechon ben Berekah, who says that you could choose one of the children that's fit to inherit amongst all the other brothers, would then mean, because if he holds a Rabbi Yisi, who says that a fetus could inherit, so since the fetus is fit to inherit partly, like Rabbi Yisi holds Iyarshins, and then additionally, Rabbi Yechon ben Berekah's halacha would then take effect to say, oh, then you could pick that fetus amongst all the other brothers, and therefore then you could say that he's the town of a Mishnah. Well, that's the Gemara, but mi yemer de Savala. Who said that Rabbi Yechon ben Berekah holds a Rabbi Yisi to say that, oh, so he's the town of a Mishnah, and therefore, oh, but it's not difficult on me because I don't hold like them. We don't know necessarily that he does hold like him. So that's why Rabbi says, I don't know who taught our Mishnah, because I don't know a precedence of anyone who says the halacha of our Mishnah. But the Gemara continues asking, why does he have to reject out of hand the Tana of our Mishnah by saying, I don't know who taught it? V'leimilei, but why doesn't he say an answer to Rav Nachman, who asked him the question on his halacha, by explaining that our Mishnah is talking about a very different case? B'mevasreini. Why doesn't he say that our Mishnah is talking about whoever gives me that news? Meaning, that will answer all the questions that we said on Rav Huna, because the one who's giving him the tidings is around in the world. And we could have said that the Mishnah was talking about that whoever gives me the news will get that mana, not the fetus. And you're right, because it's not difficult in Rav Huna. Mazakala Uber is like, you cannot merit something to the fetus. But we asked, what do you mean? The Mishnah sounds like that if he says if it's going to be a boy, he'll get the 100, and he will get it. So you see, even though he gave it to him when he was a fetus, he's going to get it. No, it's not talking about the child will get it. The one that gives me the news will get it. And yes, the one that gives the news, who's around right now, could get it, even though that will be at a later point in time, and that's where he'll acquire it. That's the Zigmar, but if it was talking about not the child getting the money, but rather the one who gives the news, well then, Diktani Sefer, the Mishnah later on says, V'meinsham Yerish Elohu, now if there's no other inheritor but him, Yerish HaKol, so then he inherits everything. Now, originally we translate this halacha as going on the Tumtum. But Ibn Mavestrain, but if you learn the Mishnah very different, it's not talking about any of the children getting it, meaning the fetuses. Rather, it's talking about the one who gives the news he'll get. But Yerish Maya Avidite, then what exactly does the one who's giving the tidings have anything to do with inheriting? The one who gives the tidings doesn't inherit, he's just getting a certain amount of money for giving good tidings. How would you then interpret the halacha of the Mishnah? Obviously, it's not talking about the one who gives the tidings, but rather regarding the children themselves, who they are the ones who inherit, and it's regarding that the one who, the father was saying, that regarding the fetus getting it. And therefore, Rav Huna says, I don't know, again, who taught the halacha of our Mishnah. But the Gemara continues asking, "Belemalei, why didn't Rav Huna say that it was talking about that the father said, if a boy is going to be born, then you give him the mana, or if it's a girl, 200 and so on, b'sheyolda, meaning that actually it's talking about that when he said this, the child was already born. He just didn't know. And therefore, that's why the child will take the mana or the Messiah. And it's not talking at all a case of being mezaka to the uber. You're right. If when he said this, the child was a fetus, then you're right. Like Rav Huna says, that it wouldn't take anything. So why didn't Rav Huna say, okay, our Mishnah is not difficult on me, and he doesn't have to just reject it out of hand. Our Mishnah, he could say, is talking about that when the child was already born. He just didn't know. He says, oh, if it's a boy, 100. If it's a girl, 200. And then that will take effect. Now the Gemara says, no, ihachi diktani seif. But if that's the case, then look at the seif. The Mishnah says, v'im amar, kol masha teilid ishti yitil. He says, let's say he says the terminology, but whatever my wife gives birth, then the child should take. So hareza yitil. Then we said, okay, in all circumstances, the child's going to take, which we said includes a tumtum, even though maybe it's not a boy or a girl. But if he says, whatever the wife gives birth to will take, then the child takes. Now the problem, if it's talking about that the child's already born, So kol she teled, then what's he saying? That whatever it will give birth to, kol she yoldim in bailed, then they should have said whatever it gave birth to, meaning whatever his wife already gave birth, because it's talking about that the child's already born. Obviously, you can't say that it's talking about that the child already born, and therefore it sounds like the Toma that it's a fetus, and it sounds like it is going to work, and that's what Rav Huna says. Well, I don't know who the town of our Mishnah is, as we don't find any precedent, and yes, it would contradict Rav Huna's halacha, because it sounds like from the Mishnah being mezakeh to the Uber, which is kaina, and Rav Huna holds that one is not kaina. Then the Gemara continues, one more question on the top of Kufman Bezim and Aleph, but Valeimile, why didn't Rav Huna say an answer to Rav Nachman that our Mishnah is Toma de Amar, where the father had said, that if my wife gives birth to a boy, that he should get 100 dinar, likishetelid, that he should get it when he is born, which is that he's not meriting anything to the child now as a fetus, until the child's actually born. So that's not a case of being mezakeh to the uber. He's not meriting something to the fetus, which yes, Rav Huna says he's not going to acquire. He's only giving it to him for when he's born. And when he's born, then he's already something that's in the world. So why didn't Rav Huna explain the mission like that, which wouldn't contradict him? The Gemara answers, because Rav Huna, who said that, I don't know who taught this Mishnah, and he didn't say he's talking about likishetele, when the child should be born, is letame, goes according to his reasoning. The Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says that after even one who marries to a fetus in such a case, where he says likishetele, that the fetus should only acquire when the child is born, meaning that he's giving over all his property to the fetus only when he's going to be born, even in that case, says Rav Huna, loikana. Even then he held, and therefore he couldn't answer the mission like that, even then the fetus is not going to acquire, because since at the time when he was doing the hakna, although it's only going to take effect later, but the time when he's doing the kinyan, it is a fetus and cannot merit because it's not in the world, therefore when held, the child will not acquire even when it will be born, even though he had said, likishetelet, even then it's not going to work, as the Gemara on the next daf will explain that it's actually machlekes, and that's where Rav Huna couldn't even say it in that case, and that's why he says, any day mishana, I don't know who taught the halacha of a mishnah, which sounds like mezakeh l'uber is going to be kana, which he says, I don't know of such a tana, and therefore he had paskin actually the halacha as ha mezakeh l'uber is loy kana.